Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. Have your host, James J. here, and we're joining for the entire hour with Wood County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Sean Becker with us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Sean, we have a couple of other things we want to make sure to touch on before we wrap up today.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned before, I've coached football for a few years now at Lincoln High School, and had a tough season, unfortunately. I feel, you know, bad for the kids. But I'll tell you what, the last game this season was back the badge game. And that's what something that Coach Tony Bello has been, you know, very passionate about, supporting local law enforcement. And obviously not because I'm part of the staff, but, you know, just, you know, wanting to honor Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, the Wood County Sheriff's Department, really draw attention to, you know, hey, we're here standing up and supporting law enforcement. So the last game this season was against Eau Claire North, and it was a close game. And it started off with we got a flyover from LifeLink. Nice. And that was pretty cool. And we got the idea from Marshfield Police Department when they did that for the game up in Marshfield against Rapids. And it was pretty cool. You know, that's how the game started. Had a fairly good crowd, and the kids had different uniforms at all. We're back to badge theme. And like I said, Coach Bill has been doing this for quite some time. And it's really cool for me to see, you know, not just myself, but so many other law enforcement officers from our agencies there that get honored during the game. And it was a neat experience. It always has been every year. And what's going to happen now with Marshfield in their senior high, that's going to be the back to badge game whenever they play. Whatever part of the county it's on, that's what the theme is going to be.
That's so awesome.
Hopefully we'll have a traveling trophy put together, and it won't be like the jug, but it'll be something pretty cool. But this game, and last one in particular, you know, we had a young quarterback come in, we call him Big Rich, and sophomore, and the last drive of the game did awesome, and 6 seconds left, he threw a 26-yard touchdown, and that was a deciding factor in the game. So just a memory that, you know, I'm not going to ever forget, and it was close, and the kids really deserved to win that game, not because of the theme, just because how the season was going, you know. And I always watch the seniors, you know, and see how they're, you know, feeling throughout the season. I know this was really hard for them. And, you know, and listening to them talk to the team and address them before the game was quite humbling, you know. And it's like, boy, I wish we could have done more as a coach. But, you know, it is what it is, and it builds character with these young adults. And so it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with their lives. That's probably the biggest takeaway that I get is, you know, connecting with kids when they're young adults and seeing what their life has taken them, you know. And I've had one on the show here before. He, you know, works for Rapids Fire Department, and that was really cool to see Mr. Tim come out here and seeing him being part of the fire department, married now, and kids. It's like, boy, I'm old.
Yeah, it just happens. It happens overnight too.
It does. Yeah.
We talked about this on Playmakers a little bit when it happened, and you know, certainly I make no bones about it. I'm a Lincoln alum. I was rooting for the team all season, every week. Yeah. You feel for the kids. I echo everything you were saying about the seniors and some of that. But if you're going to only win one game in the season, that's the one to win. Like, that was a great game and a great way to go into the off season. A great way for the seniors to. Another thing we talked about on Playmakers, less than 2% of these kids go on to actually play professional sports. It's such a small number. But one thing we do know is that the confidence they build, the people skills that they lead, the leadership skills that they learn, that they can take with them into anything they do in life. And a lot of that comes from the coaching out there. And so to you, to the coaching staff, not just of our local teams, but all everybody. The teams out there, big thank you to everybody that puts in the time out of their everyday lives to be able to do this stuff and coach these kids, not just about what the X's and O's, but about what it is to be a good human being.
Yeah, no, and that's where, you know, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for, you know, Coach Biolo, you know, Coach Mancuso, you know, and many other coaches that I've worked with throughout the years. I mean, if you look at the foundation that they have, you know, and you want to emulate that as well as a coach, and, you know, I just love doing something different in the community, and you know, it's fun, you know, trying to at least pass something on to you know, help them better themselves, not just as a player, but as a person. And those are, like I said, the humbling experiences that come up. You know, you don't know how many years later it might happen, but you know, it has, and it's pretty cool.
That's great, and good to hear. And again, the big thank you to everybody on the great football season out of Lincoln and all of our local teams. Appreciate all the work from everybody out there and that they put into this. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
We also have a couple more days left for Coats for Kids. Wanted to mention that as well.
Yeah, if somebody has something that they can donate as far as a coat, you can bring it down to the courthouse. We've got a bin there that we filled up a few times. That was one of... Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis's ideas to, hey, you know, what are some things that we can do out in the community? And we've been running with that for quite some time. So awesome job, Q. So then, we're also collecting. We started the Toys for Tots campaign. So we've got a collection point also at the courthouse. So if you want to bring in a coat or two and a couple toys, please do that. We'll make sure they get to the right spots.
And you can just drop them those off at the courthouse?
Yeah, right at the security entrance. You can just bring them right up there and leave them there. You don't have to come in and go get screened. You can just leave it right by the security stuff, and we'll take care of it from there.
Fantastic, and greatly appreciate you guys doing that, and so many of our businesses and local nonprofits doing those kind of things. You know, one of the things that you don't have to drive too much around town to see that there's some, you know, it's still orange cone season. There's still some construction going on. And with the most recent round, it's got me taking a different route. One of the positives of this for me as a kid that loves architecture and everything is I get to go past the jail every day.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the work being done on that. And I haven't gotten I've seen the work and the progress being done. I don't go past there every day like I have the last week or so. And boy, does that thing not only look great, but it looks like things are really, literally starting to come together, starting to, you know, getting ready to put this thing on the market. But it is looking like it's very close to being done.
Yeah, definitely. It's on schedule. Things are going really well with it. I think there's some misunderstanding on a local, story that was done on it that there's some delays. There's no delays. You know, our project manager has been continuing to do an awesome job, the Samuels Group out of Wausau. And then, you know, the other people that have, you know, stayed on top of the project, Ruben Van Tassel, Ted Ashbeck, but things are going really well. Our plan is to have an open house on December 17th after our county board meeting. So that should wrap up around 10:30, somewhere around there. But then it'll be an open house where we'll have a few people talk, you know, in the new county board room. And then we'll have some guided tours. We'll have staff there to really give the public the opportunity to, walk through the facility as, at that point, everything will be done. Then we'll start the training phase of with all of our staff to get ready to, operate that facility. Like I've said before, it's completely different from our current facility. So that'll be the challenge. But I really trust Ted and Susanna Wagner and the rest of our command staff in our jail to move forward with that transition. And hopefully we'll have occupancy sometime, early next year. I'd love to say it'll be February 1st, but, I can't say that specifically yet until, the staff is trained. And part of that process, too, is as you're training the staff, you're making sure everything's working. Mm-hmm. Even though it's brand new, there could be something that, hey, it needs to be fixed or hey, it doesn't work, we need to replace it, that kind of thing. And, I've learned a lot through this process. And one of the many things I've learned is, that's where, the Samuels Group will keep staff here even after, the project is operational, just to address any concerns that might come up. Again, they've been just a phenomenal partner on site, working with them, and they've been just outstanding. We're lucky that they signed on for the project.
When we first moved into this new building and everything from our old establishment, when we got to share a lot of the behind the scenes with the audience and everything, but I don't think one of the things we got to let people know is the first time we found out these boards work was when we went on the air live. We kind of, it's the only way to really know with certain things. Hey, if it's working or not, we can test stuff out off air, but you really don't know until you're in real time and in the moment doing it. I'm curious, you mentioned training. So will they have an opportunity to really understand the facility, really get their fingerprints into the facility, no pun intended. But, you know, get in there and really understand and feel comfortable with it before you kind of, if you will, open up a shop.
Yeah, we've been pushing the staff to take any opportunity they can to tour it, to look at it, because you know what you're seeing now. You know where, you know, the booking counter is. You know where, you know, master control is. You know where the, you know, observation points are. You know where you can get an idea of what you're going to be doing when you're going to be working, you know, there. So, I mean, that'll be the challenge, you know, because everything's different. But we'll work with other counties that have a similar pod design, newer facilities. One being Trumbull County. Samuel's group was a big involvement where they oversaw that project as well. You know, much smaller jail, but the same concept. So we'll be working with other sheriff's departments to provide our staff the opportunity to okay, now here's, you're working in, you know, a jail that has the same design. Oh, Wapaka, pod design, older jail, but it's a pod design. And, you know, we've been housing people there for quite some time, you know, and I think that'll be another good opportunity. They've been a great partner throughout the this whole project. Our contract was up with them at the beginning of this year, and they didn't come after us gouging us for, you know, rent. They're very fair, and we appreciate that, because I think that could have been an opportunity to make money on Wood County. But you know what? We've had that partnership for a long time, and I really appreciate Sheriff Wolves just saying, hey, here's the cost. It's not much more of an increase. It's similar to what other counties are paying, and didn't go after to gouge us, which is much appreciated. The taxpayers here in Will County appreciate that.
And on a number of levels, certainly with your wallet or your bank account, and you're going to see more of that as the years go on here with the new jail. But I think one of the things that we might, we do appreciate it just as much, and maybe it doesn't get talked about or anything, is that, you know, something you and I have talked about, it was just a long time ago, is how important those communication skill, those relationships are with different departments and everything. Criminals don't tend to stay in one zip code. It's so important to be able to share information and have an open line of communication like that. That's just as vital as, you know, having these working relationships as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point to bring up. You know, those working relationships, especially in the law enforcement side of things, are huge, because you never know when you might have a situation that might be like very active, or something down the road that, hey, I need help. And for me, and I feel that the perspective is really the same for, you know, police chiefs around and other sheriffs, you know, around that, hey, you need help, call, you're going to get it. And that's been something that I take pride in, you know, because if you don't have that relationship, who really suffers? You know, not just the staff, but the community does. You know, if somebody wants to put themselves on an island for, whether it's ego or whatever it might be, you know, the people that get hurt are your you know, your community is going to get hurt, and your staff could, and that's just not the right attitude to have. Put the ego aside, put the feelings aside. When you need help, you ask for it, and vice versa.
We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker right now at the here there on Midday Magazine, and Sean, I know we had some other things we wanted to get to before we wrap up the show here.
The other thing, just you know, as we talked about the teamwork aspect of law enforcement, we did have a significant drug arrest that really highlights that. Leonard Greenwich was recently arrested last week on an investigation that had been going on for a couple of years. So when you have something like that, you know, it's not just exclusive to an agency, and you said it, because crime just doesn't happen here, especially when somebody's a drug dealer. They're going to be going out to wherever they can move their product, if you want to call it that, because they act like business people. And what was being pushed was fentanyl, you know, cocaine and marijuana and meth. And, you know, with this joint investigation, you know, this individual was finally placed in custody, and with you know, the teamwork of, you know, Scott Goldberg, you know, just doing a phenomenal job at the department, oversees all of our investigators. But then again, that working relationship with other agencies, the Drug Task Force, DCI, and when you have a situation that goes on like this, and you see it, you know, come to fruition. It's a lot of work that has been going on for quite some time. So we've got a dangerous individual that's been taken off our street, and that was on based on the teamwork that you know, our department, along with many others, had a part of.
Another part of the job that we don't get to talk about very often is so many of these cases that take time to develop, mm-hmm. that take time to put into, and there's no guarantee that you're going to make an arrest. So that time mm-hmm. that you're spending on it, it's tough to, I imagine, as an officer, and especially somebody who took this job because they want to help now. They want to do something right now and make an impact and do good. And oftentimes, the only way to do that is with patience and letting something play out and everything. And that it is a noteworthy case to not only bring in, but certainly, like, just even the backstory of that it took years to be able to get that done. I don't think we think about those things very often as citizens. We see the results on the news or something in the newspaper, but the work that gets put into these things is just as important as the case being brought to fruition here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing to bring up is Channel 7 does a podcast. It's called Never Forget. Cassandra Sabeda's doing it. She did one on another investigation, the Deidre Week case, some time ago. And now she is just completing one on Deidre Harms and investigation. Really appreciate her taking the time, you know, coming in to interview us, you know, just be, you know, quite forward with where the investigation's at, who we feel or who we know did this, Chris Reback. And, you know, getting the information out to the community, you know, and that's going to air this month sometime. The anniversary date for that tragedy is coming up towards the end of this month during hunting season when we found her remains on the west side of Wisconsin Rapids. But, you know, really appreciate Cassandra, again, coming in. Like I said, I've worked this case for most of my career, even with the position that I have now. I still work it because I was an investigator when I was assigned the case. And appreciate the media looking at this, and I'm hoping that this will get some information from the community, because I think there's a couple people out there that know more information that weren't very truthful to us, or they're holding back. And that's just my gut feeling, and based on behavior that I've seen these people kind of displayed throughout the years. And I'm hoping that with this podcast getting out there, that'll provide some more information that will help. But, you know, it's not going to change the big scope of things. Chris Reback did this. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore he can serve justice for it. Because he took his own life in a different jail in Missouri. But I still think that the family could deserve that. I know the family doesn't like the word closure, but I don't have a better word for it moving forward than now I can definitively say that Chris did it, even though I've been very forward with him that he did. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate Channel 7 and Cassandra, coming down and taking the time, because it's a big investigation. I could say that. Not just because it's a homicide investigation, but the work that was put into it by not just myself or the Wood County Sheriff's Department, but Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, DCI, other FBI, you name it. We had a lot of help with this investigation, and there's a lot of work that was done. And I'd like to see that, all right, officially closed. And I can't do that. But other people can. And but again, I appreciate that partnership, with the media and for tragedies like this that they can help.
Yeah. Every life's valuable, every life's important, and every life deserves a full story. And this was mm-hmm. part of her story. I'm thankful to the podcast to bring attention to this. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the times over the years that you and I have been able to focus on cold cases, or just mm-hmm. talking about cold cases in general, letting the audience know so much of what I think you might think you know, but you don't, until you're hearing from an officer that is still, getting this case still is like it's fresh to them. It's like it happened yesterday. I hear it in your voice with this case. It hopefully not only creates a little more empathy in our community for what you guys do, and certainly our retired officers that continue with these cases long after they don't have to. But also bringing attention to cold cases in general, and how I think there should be more of a segment, more of an opportunity for us to highlight. There are so many of them out there to be able to highlight these, and you just never know what, you know, you shake the tree and something might come out. I think that it's wonderful to hear about that podcast, just as even more wonderful to hear kind of that story. Wonderful is not the right word for it, but to hear we have something that this story is told, you know, and how important that is to have happen. We got about a minute left. Did you have anything else, Sean?
A big shout out to Craig Tim, good friend of mine. He's an instructor at UWSP. And this is the third time I've got the opportunity to do it. He instructs one of the communication classes, and he just has me come in and do a Q&A on not just law enforcement, but media. Mm-hmm. So I had the opportunity to do that yesterday. Got frustrated, though, because here I'm coming to Stevens Point on 66, and that train was there.
Yeah.
So I'm texting. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be a little late. The train's not moving. And, you know, we tried to have some jurisdiction over the over trains and stuff, and it didn't work out. That's a federal thing. So we got to talk about that in my frustration. But, no, it was fun. And being a UWSP alumni, it gives me the opportunity to kind of see the changes on campus and then just kind of connect or just talk with the students there, and you know, get a little bit of their background, and then just kind of free flow it, you know, Q&A it, and then talking about the relationship with media and how that reflects on a law enforcement agency.
Yeah, it had to have been a really interesting conversation. Yeah. That's really cool to hear. I'm up in Point at least once a week, and every other time I'm going up there, that train every time. Yeah. Appreciate you, sir. Thanks so much for the time, Sean.
You bet.
And if people want to find out more, I encourage you to go to woodcountywi.gov. You can reach our sheriff's department that way, woodcountywi.gov. I want to encourage you as well to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Go to all your social media outlets and type that in there and subscribe to their work and keep up to date on the great work they are doing. We appreciate you guys over there. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.